In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God clothes himself in humility. It's an astonishing thing. The one who made this universe and its billions of galaxies, who made mysteries so infinitesimally vast, so infinitesimally small, that they may remain beyond our comprehension. The one through whom the heavens and the earth were made. The one enthroned in cosmic splendor becomes a man, a human being like you. God clothes himself in human flesh, humbles himself to be born of a virgin. He takes a human name, Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. And he will do this by humbling himself even further, even to the point of death on a cross. He is true man, and yet veiled within his human flesh, the fullness of the deity dwells. God clothes himself in humility. And so it just may be that you missed him when he spoke to us a few moments ago. Whether you realize it or not, the Lord of heaven and earth spoke his words externally and audibly into your ears. He clothes his speaking in humility, the humility of the scriptures read by human lips. After hearing his word, the liturgy directs us to say, "This is the word of the Lord." And you say, "Thanks be to God." We are not saying, "This is the word of the Lord. Oh, thanks be to God. I thought it was Huckleberry Finn." It's a confession of faith. We're saying that hidden under human voice, clothed in this humility, God is speaking to us. Present tense. We are hearing the living word of the living God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A terrible lie has entered God's church. In the 20th century, liturgical scholars and higher critics would profoundly change the way Western Christendom understands the service of the Word. The scriptures they held were only human writings, not divinely inspired, certainly not God's Word. They were of human origin, written by the church. And so when the church gets together, all the church is doing is reading its own writings to itself. On Sunday mornings, no longer do we hear the living God preaching to us himself through scriptures. We hear readings instead. Readings of human origin. Readings that you can pay attention to or ignore. Readings that you can take or leave. After all, they're just readings. And even if it is God's word, well, it's just a reading of God's word. It's not as if the living God was speaking directly to you. The lie has taken hold. Many Christians no longer even recognize God speaking in his own church today. God must speak to us in other ways, they think. So they imagine that he speaks to them through signs or coincidences that happen in their lives. Just like the Jews ignored God's word and looked for signs. They imagine their own inner voice to be the voice of God and mistake their own feelings to be his word to them. Just like pagans who think God speaks from within. False prophets also claim that God speaks through them, that God gives them dreams to share and visions to cast. As Jeremiah would say, they speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. But people follow the dreams and visions of false prophets, thinking God really does speak this way. Such a sad state of the church that Christians think God speaks to him in any and every way except the one way that he actually does speak to them. Clothed in humility, clothed in the scriptures, God still speaks to his people. The most dangerous thing you can do in church is listen. The most dangerous thing you can do is listen to the scriptures, for it is God himself who is preaching to you. Luther once said, "To hear the word of God is not play or sport. When it strikes the heart, it is like a thunderbolt, which overthrows even the most strongly fortified places by its force." Jesus' words today are quite like this. "I came to cast fire on the earth," he says, "and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I came to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." So should I spend a few minutes explaining Jesus' words away, at least attempt to tone them down a little bit? Should I lament that Jesus ever said such a thing? Perhaps I could domesticate Jesus for you, tame him, turn him back into the nice Jesus that we all prefer. It wouldn't do any good, and it just might do me a great deal of harm. Because these are the living words of the living Christ. And they are perfect, precisely because they are an offense to our proud and pious ears. They are lightning bolts upon our proud and pious hearts. We enlightened, gospel-centered Christians can barely stand the hint of any fire and brimstone God. Oh, how barbarian, how medieval. Jesus speaks of casting fire upon the earth. Oh, we good people in this dark world, we're just doing the best we can and pleasing God by doing everything within our power. Jesus speaks of baptism, God's wrath over your sins being poured out upon him as he hangs from the cross. Oh, we wring our hands and gravely shake our heads when theology of all things causes even the smallest division. How horrible. Jesus says that he came to cause just such division. Oh, God's word is a dangerous thing. For with it he crushes not only the sinner, but also the false saint within us. "Is not my word like fire," declares the Lord, "and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? For with the fire of his word, he melts away the very things we think make us such excellent saints. and with the hammer of his word, he breaks our false piety into pieces. That is, if you care to listen. God himself preached today, but you may have found that other more important things were drifting through your mind. God himself preaches here every Sunday, but you know, you can always use your Christian freedom to turn your back on him and go find a better use of your time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but the world had more important things to attend to. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but men thought darkness was a lot more fun to post about on Facebook. A certain king threw a wedding feast, but the people had such busy schedules. Some went to their child's soccer game, others went to the beach, and some just slept in. All the while, God himself preached, clothed in humility, to be sure. But he preached Sunday after Sunday here in this sanctuary. Those who heard his word had their hearts broken, for that is what we needed most. Our hearts could not trust in him. Each heart could only trust in itself. The heart isn't just an idol maker, as Calvin thought. The heart is the greatest idol of all, itself. So with his word, God broke our hearts again and again. With his word, he gave us new hearts that trusted in Jesus. His word was like a fire that burns up all things, like a hammer that crushes all things until we have nothing left but Jesus only. Jesus only. The lashes that drove deep wounds into his back, the vicious nails that held him hand and foot, the crown of thorns that punctured his head, the innocent blood flowing from his wounds. You have been bought at a price. You are not your own. You are his. You cannot redeem yourself. You need not redeem yourself. You have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus himself. It really is finished. You need do nothing. You need add nothing. You have Jesus only, and he is enough. Jesus only. He is the sermon of God. He is the word that God preaches. He is the word of God that creates a clean heart in you and renews within you a right spirit. He is the word of God made flesh. He is the law of God made flesh to be your righteousness. He is the gospel of God made flesh to win your forgiveness. He is God's yes to you. God's yes to you now, and God's yes to you for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.